shit. Well, let's just give our senior pastor, Nigel, a hand as he comes to share.
Thanks, Steve. Fantastic. Let's give it up for the baptisees that got wet in this cold weather last few weeks ago. And Wellard had 4 baptisms last weekend as well. So exciting stuff at both locations. And can you pray for Barry and Michelle? Because they're doing a stellar job down there at Wellard. And really excited about the future for both locations. Who's glad to be at Frio this morning? You know, maybe I should start. The young man behind the... is now engaged to the lovely Katie. Where's Katie? Oh, there you are, where you always sit. So Katie and Wes are engaged officially, so that's fantastic. Have you set a wedding date yet? Won't be far away, I'm sure, knowing Katie a little bit. So that's good. Fantastic. Don't forget to congratulate them afterwards. I've also, I think I've got some other things to share as well, but I just can't remember right now, so maybe it'll come back to me. You know, I want to talk about this morning. I'm starting a series which will probably last a few weeks. I may even do one of these on Father's Day. On Isaiah 35, which is a prophetic chapter about the Messiah, about Jesus. And so I'm going to start that this morning. And I want to tell you this morning that God believes in miracles. And God is a God of miracles. And so the title of my message this morning is Signs and Wonders. And if you have your Bibles, I just want to recap, because we're in a season this year on our theme called freedom. Put your hands up if you felt the freedom of God already this year in any way. Just put your hand up. You felt the freedom of God. So that's probably 70% of the church. So that's fantastic. You know, in Luke 4:18, I think it's all right, guys. I think you can go. Thank you. Let's give our music team a hand. I actually asked them to stay and decided it's better without them at the moment. But who knows, we need our musos. All right, the Spirit of the Lord is upon. Let's put our hands there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon because He is anointed to preach the gospel to the... Now, I went out with some quite wealthy friends, Andrew and I, used to be wealthy, good friends of ours now, that are on a journey towards God, a plus one opportunity for our Christmas in July. Yeah? They may not come to church yet, but they might come to my place for a meal after church. So let's think about who we could bring to Christmas in July in that respect. So I'm not just talking, the reason I said that was we're not just talking about people who are in poverty, and we do a great job, don't we, with Leap into Spring and all the areas that we help in Port Care, but it's people that are poor in spirit. And we all know people that are poor in spirit, yes? And so so that's us as well. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I don't know too many people that haven't had a broken heart if they've lived around for a little while. To proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives. Is anyone glad they're free here this morning? To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And so Jesus came into this world to bring you and I freedom. Jesus is freedom. Turn to your neighbor. Jesus is freedom. Let them know that. See, why did he come 30 years ago? Oh, 30 years ago. Why did he come? To set us free. Why did Jesus rise from the dead on the third day? To show us his freedom. That We have the same hope that Jesus has, everlasting life. We're going to heaven, people. It's exciting once we have a relationship with Christ. Is why did Jesus show himself to the disciples after the resurrection? Well, if you're a bit like me, you need to be. Sometimes we need to see that it's real. That God is the reality of his freedom. When he showed his hands and the scars to the disciples, they would have gone, my goodness. And why did Jesus say to his disciples before his ascension, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Is anyone glad we have the Holy Spirit today? We shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. Jesus said that because it is through the Holy Spirit we experience his freedom in our lives. You and I need to know that freedom is not reserved for heaven alone. Isn't that right, Blammer? Gamma. Freedom is not reserved, Jonathan, as you too well know, just for heaven, right? It's here, it's available to us now on the earth, wherever we are, at our workplace, when everyone around us is being an absolute whatever to us. We still have the freedom to live the life above and not below. We don't have to be at the same level as everyone else. We have the freedom of Christ. It makes a huge difference to the way we live our lives. And so, yes, it's simply greater in every respect. When we do get to heaven, thank you, Jesus, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. And that's going to be fantastic. We have arguments at our house where the dogs and cats are allowed in heaven. I'll leave that up to you. I don't know if they've actually got spirits, but hey, you know, I'm told by everyone else, of course they're going to be there, Nigel. So, you know, I can't theologically prove that, but if you really think that's going to make the difference, then you can believe it. I don't think Jesus is really going to get caught up on it or not, you know. So anyhow, my son and I have discussions on whether there's going to be an ocean in heaven because we'd really like to go surfing. You'll be surfing in ways, we'll be surfing in ways that we don't even know right now, right? So we can't think that way because it's above us. It's a mystery of God. But we're going to a greater place, and that should be exciting for us. In Acts 1:8, I know I'm going to Isaiah 35, but I'm bringing out a lot of scriptures this morning, and I've got Graham Vert coming to join me. Actually, you might as well get ready and come wherever you are, Graham. Are you here? Yes, you are. I thought you must have vanished for a minute there. Please come. Let's give Graham a hand. You know, the Bible says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall receive? Power. You know, that's the word is actually dynamis, which, and it talks about miracles, signs and wonders. And Graham has had a number of miracles in his life. And I thought it'd be good to interview him today. And him and Lydia. So just to get started, how long have you and Lydia been coming to C3 Fremantle?
We were trying to work it out. I think about 8-9 years now.
So you're part of the furniture now, which is...
Very obvious. I think I am.
And Graham, about... Because I messed this up completely. Because you've had that many miracles. I said it was only a year ago that you had a really serious accident, but it was actually 5 or 6 years ago that you had you've written it down for me, a serious back injury. Tell us what happened.
Okay. I was at work one day, and I tend to overdo things. I was lifting some steel, probably about 250 kg sheet of plate steel. And when I lifted it, it was meant to be another two guys helping us. And I ended up with the whole weight myself. And I ended up by destroying 3 discs in my back and fracturing my vertebrae. And basically ended up in hospital with some major problems, very major problems.
So I was going to ask you how debilitating it was. You couldn't do anything. You were basically out.
I couldn't. I was on the maximum amount of morphine that they can give you without actually permanently knocking you out. And I was still in the most incredible pain that I've ever experienced in my life with the full maximum medication. When they take it to the next step, you're under in an induced coma, which I think was the next step that they were going to take me to, yeah.
And the prognosis from the specialist, because I think this is important, what was their conclusion?
Well, they'd called in a neurosurgeon because they were concerned that I would my nervous column, the spinal column, would be permanently severed because it was under so much pressure that they were about to take me off to Charlie's to start to do some exploratory operations to see what they could do.
Pretty bad. What did you and Lydia do?
Well, Lydia and I, you know, we like to pray and we like to commit things to God. But one of my favourite verses in the Bible is James 5:14, where it says, if any of you are sick, call the elders of the church and they will pray over you, anoint you with oil and you will be healed. So I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even operate a phone. I was in so much pain. Couldn't move. Not even to go to the bathroom or anything. The most humiliating thing that's ever happened to me in my life. It was just terrible. And so I said to Lydia, can you phone round and get some of the guys from the church to come down and pray for me? You know, what I'd call elders or respected people in the church. And there was a number that took up the call. Thank you, Steve. And I think Charlie came and a few others. Even Mark Jones. Remember Mark Jones? Yeah, he turned up. And so, you know, people just came in and prayed for me. I couldn't actually even be fully involved in it because I was so spaced out that I really didn't know what was happening. And, yeah, so they prayed for me. And it was shortly after that the miracle happened.
So it was almost immediate. Is that right? How did it happen? Because I was away at the time. So just tell us exactly what happened. Because it wasn't like, what I mean by immediate, it wasn't like as soon as they laid hands on you, was it?
No. There was no. Well, I was so spaced out, I wouldn't know. And even if I was healed, I would have been incapable of knowing whether I was healed or not, I think. But except for the pain that kept on. I slept that night, and I'd been in hospital for a few days by this stage, and people were coming up. They all didn't arrive at like a delegation or anything like that. They arrived individually and prayed with us. But what happened was, I woke up the next day, and I was really, really fearful of going into it. To have an operation. That was my greatest fear because I'd seen the results of those operations before and it's never very good. And so obviously I'd been praying and I once again came to the point where I needed to relieve myself and it was just terrible. And I moved a little bit and thought there was no pain. So I said to the nurse, look, can you mind giving me a hand to sit up? She said, I can't do that, Mr. Vitt. You're actually got to be immobile because they didn't want me to move in case I did something to my spinal column. And the nerves there. And so I showed her that I could actually move without grimacing. And so she fled off to the doctor, terrified that I was going to do something wrong, but I can be pretty pig-headed. Nobody would know that. Long story short, I actually got up out of bed, got myself into a wheelchair because she insisted I could have walked, but just to keep the peace, she wheeled me to the toilet, left me alone, and I sort of wheeled the wheelchair back to bed with me pushing it. And I knew that I said, I'm going home now. Can I get out? And I knew that I was healed. It was so dramatic. The pain had gone. There was absolutely no symptoms at all. Absolutely. The shock from the whole of the staff was, when the hospital was open at Fremantle. And because they were about to ship me out that day to Charlie's. And after a lot of arguing and all sorts of stuff, the only way the register would let me out of the building, basically, was that I had to, a bit like the beggar that was healed and he said, rise up, take up your pallet and walk. Well, I had to go and pick up my pallet, but it was called the physiotherapist, and it put me through 2 hours of strenuous exercise before they would allow me to go, which I passed absolutely 100% in every way.
And it was Graham just said it was a miracle. You went to your GP a few weeks later to get the final prognosis, and considering the damage and everything that was done and the debilitation in your back, what did he say?
Yeah, the hospital sent everything to my GP, who I've been going to for about 35 years, and he knows me and he knows my miracles, and because I've had a number of them. And and when I told him that I'd walked up, now he's got all the X-rays and all the bits and pieces in front of him, and he said he wanted to know how I got up there. I said I've just walked up because it's just up the road from where I live. And he said, you shouldn't even be on your feet, Graham. And I said, well, he said, what happened? And I said, well, I've had divine intervention again. He said, I can't put that down in my notes. But he knows me, and he said, well, we'll just put it down as there's been some outside interference or something, some words like that. But he's seen that happen 3 times with me now, absolute miracles that have happened. But that, I'll have to admit, was the biggest and it was probably the scariest time in my life. I honestly thought I was going to be a paraplegic at one point. It was so bad, the damage. And now I'm still working. I still work hard, and I still lift really, really heavy weights. And I never have to go to bed worrying about a pinched nerve or a sore back or anything. It's totally healed.
Fantastic. Can we believe in miracles today, church? And can we believe in miracles for every time that there's a sickness that comes into your life? I really wanted to, because of Graham and I had, because Lydia's been away and we caught up, and I got, there's so many miracles going through my head, I got them all mixed up, but hey, it was good this morning. Graham is a walking testimony of the goodness of God as we trust him. We can trust our Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for Graham. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God of miracles. And we thank you, Lord, that you do supply your grace in our greatest time of need. And I pray today, Lord, that there would be faith would rise in this auditorium, that each and every one of us would recognize the power and the wonder of who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Graham. Fantastic. Acts 4:7. I'm just speeding through a little bit probably, guys, so thanks, Josh. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? This is the lame man, which actually even Graham's talked about this morning. See, religious people are afraid that they are going to lose control or power. We are not religious people. We are free people. And free people don't have to worry about their own status or what's going to be. They have a freedom that comes from Christ, and we allow Christ to do whatever he wants to do, and sometimes our mind has to stay out of the way. If you're an analytical person, at times you will actually be thinking, well, what about this, this, and this? And a miracle happens because God is simply bigger than all that stuff. Amen? And so this was really, and I've spoken about this before, I won't take long up, but this was really an ugly problem at a beautiful gate. We have ugly problems as we walk out of this room. In fact, we've got ugly problems, some of us, where we write it, even, you know, around us. 40 years this man's a lame. He knows nothing else. He has no memory of even being able to walk. And when beggars beg, rarely do they look up at you. Many of you would have been overseas. They keep their heads down, but their chins up. And Peter said to the lame man, look at us. Look at us, is Peter and John there. And the man looked into their eyes. There is great power within you and I. Did you hear me, church? There is great power within you. You have all the power that I have, you have all the power that the next person has simply because we have Jesus. Just can anyone give me an amen this morning? So you may be lame in certain areas of your life right now, but God. You may be wondering how that problem is ever going to go away, but God. Come on. But God. Is that a but God that Graham had? I mean, that's not explainable. And so you may be concerned for someone else right now, but God. And some of you have been looking for the answer in someone else or through someone else, but I'm here to tell you today, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up on the inside, the miracles there because you have Jesus. And I'm not saying that you can't come forward, and we want that. We want people to receive. There's something about a corporate presence and power of God. But there's no reason why you can't actually pray and even pray for yourself and be healed. Do you have power within you? Come on, do you have power within you? And so that power is the power, the same power that Peter had, the same power that healed Graham, the same power that does all the miracles in the Bible because God is God. And so Acts 19:11, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Are you up for an unusual miracle? Is anyone not sure how things are going to progress in your life or in a certain situation? Can you allow God to do an unusual miracle in your life? And on this occasion, it was through handkerchiefs. They were bringing their handkerchiefs and their aprons. So all you master chefs, which is happening next door. Anyway, they brought their aprons, they took them home, and the people were healed. What an amazing God. That's unusual. And God is into doing the unusual when the end result is going to be freedom. It is natural for God to do the supernatural. Did you hear me? It is what? Natural for God to do the supernatural. Isaiah 35, well, I better talk about it a little bit since it's part of my message the next few weeks. Interesting how Luke 4 and this corresponds. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. I'll talk about that a little bit next week. Isaiah was prophesying what would be through Jesus. And now is, and what am I trying to say? What he was prophesying what was going to happen? And now is in the here and now with us. We know these things. They can happen now. They are happening now. And God's salvation to the blind do see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the mute sing. And then in Luke 7:22, it says this, go and tell John the things that you have seen and heard, that the blind see, The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Way too many Christians, if they are honest with themselves, decided at least for the most part that signs and wonders don't happen anymore. Can we be a church that reverses that trend? In Jesus' name. God does miracles. Say it with me. Jesus did miracles on earth, and Jesus does miracles now. Be careful that you do not fall into a mindset that limits your freedom. Hebrews 13:8. Everyone will know this as soon as I say it. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and Jesus is the same. Jesus is the same. If Jesus is the same, why would he stop being God? God was doing miracles before Jesus came. Would have been pretty cool, I think, to have been Moses at the Red Sea. Anyone feel like they'd like to be Moses at the Red Sea? Maybe not for all the complaining, but just for that part. Feel pretty cool. Lift up your staff, Moses, and the waters part. The wind blows. Incredible miracle of God. You see, it's God's nature to do miracles, signs, and wonders. A wonder is a wow moment. Who thinks Graham had a wow moment? And there are people here that have had wow moments, and maybe they're a long time ago, and God wants us to revive the old. What we used to, why have we lost some of our joy, some of our faith let's not get mundane with life. Let's live above that by the power of the Holy Spirit that already is within us. Can we shake ourselves up a bit this morning? And so you can't figure a wonder out, actually. And that's because God is infinite. You can get to know God on a certain level, but then you can't get to know him because he's just so big. His IQ, well, he doesn't really have an IQ because it's too big. Your mind may be your biggest asset and yet your biggest downfall. And so let's trust God that he knows what he's doing. Can we do that, church? It's interesting that Pharaoh would not listen to Moses. As a result, his heart was hardened, the Bible says. And we need to be careful that our own stubbornness does not interfere with the miraculous hand of God in our lives. And faith lays down our own will and allows God to direct us, and the Holy Spirit helps us keep the noise out, the distraction out. What about this? What about that? God says to Moses, I will multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know that I am Lord. That I am Lord. And so Paul spoke to the Romans, I will dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. He goes on, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. That's Romans 15:18-19. Paul knows, like you and I, that there are many things that we cannot possibly take credit for. They are simply astounding wonders of God. Will you believe with me that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever? And because that is a fact, will you have faith to believe for miracles, signs, and wonders? And there's an enemy out there that would want you to believe the opposite of that. But nothing has more power than the authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rise up. I felt like when I was preparing this message that some of you have been thinking, it's not worth it. It's just not worth following Jesus. Well, I've been there too. I'm sure all of us have if we're honest with ourselves. And the thing is, when you go down that path, there's nothing but misery. And that is what the devil wants. He wants you under a cloud of darkness. He wants you to be subdued. He wants you to be under and not over. Well, that's not the word of God. The Bible says to rise up. The Bible says to live above, to stomp the enemy. And let me just give you an illustration of this. Paul was confronted by a sorcerer on the island of Cyprus. I happen to have been to Cyprus with Andrea. And he was sharing that was just a side comment. And he was sharing the gospel with a governor of the Roman Empire. All right, so this is a high official in the Roman Empire. And the Bible says, Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood them. Elymas is like the right hand, the mentor for this governor. And Barnabas and Paul are there. What did Paul do? Has anyone felt like they're under something? They're feeling like there's a pressure and they're not sure what it is. It's like the darkness that you don't seem to be able to get out from. We've all been there, right? What did Paul do? Immediately, the Holy Spirit rose up in Paul and he looked intently at Elymas, the sorcerer, and spoke words of truth over the man. The best thing you and I can do is speak the word of God over our lives. Thank you, Lord, that I'm rising up out of this darkness. This is not who you've created me to be. I am a victor in the name of Jesus Christ. Anyway, he spoke to the sorcerer, and immediately that sorcerer was blind and he needed to be led away by other people. And that was a sure sign for the governor, and he was set free, delivered, and came to know Christ as his own Lord and Savior. And so the Bible is full of promise for those who do not neglect their salvation, because who knows that we can neglect who we have? For those who do not neglect their salvation, it's in Hebrews. So the Holy Spirit is here now. Oh, Father God, in your life every day to bring significant change to the normal and mundane for those that love him. Who'd like to live a love above the normal and mundane? You see, people may say that the gifts of the Holy Spirit have passed away, but that would mean that God has passed away. God is God. God is miraculous. God raised Jesus from the dead. God wants to raise things up in your life that may be dead. He is the God of resurrection life. Do not believe any theology that God does not do miracles anymore. God has to do miracles because God is God. It is what he does. Can we stand to our feet? Let us pray this morning. And I'll ask the musicians to come in a minute. Let's just pray first, actually. Thank you. Music team, I'll give you the call. Can we lift our hands out to God this morning? And maybe you need a miracle this morning. I don't know everyone's situation here this morning. Well, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God for miracles. And don't, you know, this is something that we have to believe in our heart. We have to rise up on the inside as well. It's interesting to me that there were 10 lepers that came to Jesus and 9 went away. Just keep your hands up. Let's just take this as a meditation moment on the word of God. And only one came back. Jesus said to that one leper, "Where are the other 9? He said to that leper, "Because you have come back, I have made you whole." That's sozo in the Greek. It means you are completely whole, mind, body, spirit. It is a wholeness through salvation. It is a wholeness to believe that we have someone with us, not just for a quick fix. We have someone with us that brings resurrection life every day of our life. And we have a relationship with him in the mighty name of Jesus. And so I'm praying today that there will people that would be made whole. Would you like to be made whole today? And so, like Paul and music team, perhaps it's a good time for you to come. Thank you. Let's believe today. I just want to pray another prayer, actually, over the whole congregation. And I'm going to ask those of you who would like, you know that there's something wrong. Maybe it's something that's been there a while and you have not found that the thing has shifted. It might be a natural healing. It may be another circumstance. But we're going to believe for the miracle healing power of God. And if you can stay, we're just going to spend a few minutes worshiping God and believing for miracles. Maybe there's a situation in your family and you don't know how that's going to turn out. Can we lift our faith today? Can we believe that God is a God far above anything that we can think or say or what the doctors can say? Or God's bigger. He's simply bigger. And he wants to do signs and wonders in our life. He wants to do signs and wonders in our connect groups. He wants to do signs and wonders with our family. When we pray for our children, when we put them to sleep, we thank you, Lord, for the miracle working power of the Lord Jesus to bring healing and salvation and anything that is required in our lives. You're the God that heals us. And so, Father God, right here, right now, let your Holy Spirit that's already here just come in an incredible way. We thank you that you've left us with the Holy Spirit, the person of God that we can connect with and be with and understand and belong to. And I ask right here, right now, that we would rise on the inside. For I am calling you out. I am calling you to a new level in me, says God. I would say that some of those areas in your life that are just, they're just, oh yeah. God's saying, come on, I have more for you. You can live higher. You can live above those areas in your life. I have the supernatural power of God for you. And there is going to be a time of the miraculous and you would know that I am your God. Reach out your hand. Reach out your hand. Be like Moses. Reach out your hand. Take a hold of my power and allow it to flow through your life today. See ya, Baba Shoka Bahaya. God. Let's not take long about this. If you need a miracle, you know, we should be running to the front and allowing God just to touch our lives. Come. Just come. Come. Please come. Steve, Emma, you know, the prayer team, please, let's just start praying, laying hands on people. Let's believe today. Ask the people what it is, and let's believe today for the miracle working power of God in our lives. Come forward, guys. Father God, Father God. Let's keep worshiping God. If you need to go, I know the time's up. I understand. But if not, let's just pray.
In the name Jesus.